Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Top of the hour. The Astros lose 2 out of 3. That's their second straight series loss. Not great. Did not hit. They just wanted to get out of there last night. Only saw 98 pitches yesterday while they threw 135. But that was in large part because Christian Javier was not great. He was laying meatballs up there, change-up meatballs up there, and Fernando Tatis took advantage and crushed one. The Texans continue workouts, a lot of battles. I don't know about a lot of battles in camp, but battles seem to be. Jonathan M. Alexander wrote a piece on Rutledge, Kalen Rutledge, and it's interesting. He did say this. You know, about him playing. I wonder if the Texans at any point are going to regret moving him to center. If in fact he does play center, where he has never played, he's never played a game at center in his life. I wonder if in fact this is going to be a regret. Like when they first got Mario Williams, remember they were moving him all over the place. And, you know, as a rookie, he didn't do all that great, and they were like,
he was a five technique, he was a defensive end, and they finally figured out, we got to let him just learn just one position.
It was too much.
Right.
And so is Rutledge going to be thinking too much when he's playing center as opposed to, and here, we've got sound from him, and it's different when it's, and for a rookie especially, a guy who's never played the position, I think of Cam Smith, and it's totally different in that it's baseball and football. But Cam Smith's a third baseman, a rookie who had, 35 days in the minor leagues before he came up? And they put him out in right field where he'd never played in his life. And he adjusted well enough defensively. He's a really good defensive outfielder. But the offense has struggled, and I wonder if it was, you know, trying to learn a position while you're trying to learn pitching and hitting in the major leagues. It may have been too much. Here is Rutledge talking about the difference between playing center and guard in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's just getting everybody on the same page. Like, you know, at guard, you should kind of shut up and listen to the center. And at center, you know, coming in as a rookie, you got to tell everybody what to do. So I think that's something that, not necessarily intimidating, but way, way different because you're at the line of scrimmage and you're talking and making sure everybody's on the right page. So I think that's the thing.
How has it been working with CJ so closely?
Oh, it's been great. He's been great to me. Anything, you know, if I'm ever like, a little hairy on something, you kind of look back there, and that guy spent a lot of football, so he'll get you on the right page.
You know that might, you know, I guess this guy though, he doesn't care, right? I mean, he's fighting Danielle Hunter. He's like, it's not like, oh my god, I'm overwhelmed. He's just,
yeah, there's nothing overwhelmed about him. Like he's not a perfect player by any stretch. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do, like every rookie does, but. The mental, the confidence part, you know, Kenyon Green, I thought, lost his edge quickly as an NFL player because he lost his confidence, just completely lost his confidence. I've seen that happen with Max Sharping when he was here. He started off pretty well, and then he lost his confidence. He got beat up by the Ravens, and he was never the same. Kenyon Green just lost his confidence, and he had technique issues. That's never going to be a problem with Kalen Rutledge. Kalen Rutledge got it up out the mud, as they say at Knox College. He came from like Middle Tennessee State. He was. I talked to him. I was talking to my son, and my son said, "Yeah, we looked at him at Alabama in the portal, and we. I don't think they said. I don't think we. We thought he was a take prospect. I said, "Oh, good call. He's only in the first round," but He's one of those guys that, you know, no one thought was a Middle Tennessee State player, and he had an edge, and he has a chip on his shoulder, and he has an edge anyway, the way he plays, and he's just a supremely confident player with a highly competitive streak, and He has real leadership qualities and accountability qualities. He's going to be – and have that as a center, that's exactly what you want in a room. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to the Chicago – so the Chicago Bears, who was their center who was a badass for all those years? I'm talking about in the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh.
A little bit under center.
Undersized.
Undersized center.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a second. And really good, like in the 2000s. Well, he's famous. One of the things he's famous for is he was a good leader. And if you got out of line, you were going to have to go see him. And there was like a hunting trip or something like that. And one of the other linemen stepped out of line with some comments and got his jaw broken by the center. The center was like no joke. And you want your center to be really smart, really confident, and to be a leader, you know, on the field and, if possible, in the locker room. And I think the Texans may have gotten all those things with Keelan Rutledge.
Did you also know he's hosting the Source Awards?
Keelan Rutledge?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
I found that out through art sources. That Keelan Rutledge not only will lead that Texans locker room.
Source Award. I wouldn't think that he would be there at the Source Award. First of all, the Source Award's still going on.
I don't know. It was a little confusing, but I trust Art.
Texter Art.
Art says.
The tweeter Art. You trust him. Okay.
Also.
I was talking to Olin Krutz, by the way.
Rutledge has a Keeping Up with Rutledge show coming up that you can watch.
Not true.
ESPN has started.
Keeping Up with the Rutledges. Yeah. I think he's married.
ESPN
actually
has a 30 for 30 on him.
It's not
considering
that's
his
not
rise
accurate
to fame here.
That's not accurate either.
And apparently, there will be a VH1 behind the music on his playlist.
There's not. I don't know that VH1 even exists. No, don't they just show movies and teen dramas?
Well,
now?
Considering all the conversations about him, even VH1 wants to get in on the Keelan Rutledge.
Makes sense.
So be on the lookout. Not only do we have a starting center, we have a budding media star.
Don't remember a first rounder getting this much attention this early.
Well, we're not used to offensive linemen being considered.
No.
You know.
Certainly not an offensive lineman. Think of the Texans offensive lineman or a first round picks. I mean, obviously Deshaun, when he was the first round pick, got all kinds of attention. But Keelan Rutledge is getting a lot of play.
You know, we're kind of setting them up a little bit for every failure to be magnified by Art on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, it's just nice to have someone who looks like you got a potential core piece on the
offensive
line.
Especially at that position.
Right. Because you only have two core pieces right now, really. You have Olin Krutz. You have Arianti Ursary and Keelan Rutledge. Braden is a short-term fill-in. Wyatt Teller's a short-term fill-in. Ed Ingram, we'll see. I think Ed needs to have a second strong year in a row because he's had one good year in the NFL so far, so he needs to put it together again. The rest of them, no, there's not. So you only have two real core players on the offensive line right now. The rest of them are vagabonds. They're just intermediary. I don't even know if that's the phrase for it. They're going to be guns for hire for just a couple of years at most, and then they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Brown is not long for the Texans.
No. So
you're still having to build the offensive line, but for now,
Ursary, Rutledge. That's
really
the basis for years to come. Basically, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it. So that's why I get excited about those kind of players, not short term. Oh. Wyatt Teller's best days are probably behind him from the Cleveland Browns. Braden Smith's best days are probably behind him. I'm just hoping they're still solid because that will be an upgrade for the Texans.
Yep. 7378037776, 7378037776. We are going to have our listener appreciation party. Where is that going to be, Lance? That's going to be at St. Arnold.
It's going to be at St. Arnold, and St. Arnold is where you go to, you know, all your best. Oh, you know all about the you know how great St. Arnold is in terms of their beer, and if you've been there out on their big-ass patio with their big-ass fans that they have. It's a great place to enjoy food, enjoy friends, happy hours, watch baseball games or sporting events. But, you know, they have special rooms available as well at St. Arnold. If you go to St. Arnold, you can see that on their website, because there's a special rooms where you can host events. Fantasy football events can be held there. They're private events. If you click on private events on the front page, you have a contact information form where you can fill it in and ask about the beer garden and restaurant or any of the special rooms that they have available for weddings, for company happy hours. They do that for holiday gatherings, corporate meetings, and of course for listener appreciation events. They've got a space available for everyone, a couple of different spaces depending on how big the size of your party is. They can cater the whole event. Of course, you have ciders and soft drinks and beers ready for you as well. And we loved that private space that we had last year for the listener event, so much so that we're going to go back and run it back again this year. So I highly recommend you guys get your Christmas parties, get your fantasy drafts, get anything done at St. Arnold. Great food, great fun, and great people at St. Arnold. Go to the website, StArnold.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Love it, man.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. I got stuck to get paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes, sir.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Been talking a lot of Texans football, Astros. Not much to talk about. They just weren't that good. Elsewhere in the world of sports, Don Nelson passed, 86 years old. Second most wins in NBA history. Some stories coming out about him. He was a hard ass now. Don Nelson was, he was the
Nelly.
Boss. Yeah.
Nelly was able to coach one of the most fun teams and or the most, well, they were fun to follow and run TMC with Tim Hardaway, mm-hmm. Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin. And Don Nelson was the head coach who allowed them to be themselves, and then, of course, went on to Dallas and was instrumental in, you know, getting Dirk Nowitzki as well. But, yeah, I saw the video where he squared up on Karl Malone. I'm sure that's what you're referencing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, not only that. So Mitch Richmond told the story about they were getting beat up by Olden Polonese one game, and he was just physical with everybody. So Nelly put in a guy that never plays. He put him in there and said, I want you to foul out of this game and hit Olden Polonese every single time. And the dude went in the game, not one foul, did not foul. And so the next day, Mitch Richmond said, if we lost, we ran. He ran this guy for 45 minutes straight and then brought the team together and said, now say goodbye to him.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hard ass right there.
That's a hard ass.
Now right say there. Goodbye to him.
Now say goodbye to him.
Wow.
This is what happens when you don't do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Okay. That dude should have just not shown up. You're gone, dude. Beat it. Mm-hmm. Beat it.
But he was okay. In good condition after that. He's well,
I would imagine. But he ain't playing nowhere.
No, no.
He ain't playing nowhere.
He didn't say who the person was.
No, he didn't mention his name. Didn't mention his name. Yeah, Don Nelson. He was a legend. He was he was a hard ass. He won titles when he was a player with the Celtics and was a great coach.
I saw somebody said they talked about you saw the same post where they talked about it. It was interesting because he was from the era of players fighting. Like, if you had a problem, it would turn into fisticuffs, not pushing and shoving or someone holding you back or whatever. Players just started swinging on each other, and the fight would last as long as it would last. And so he was from that era. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing for him to square up on a Karl Malone, just thinking, if he throws, I'm throwing. That's just the way it's going to go. Nelly's like in his 60s, and he's squared up on Carl Malone. And you're thinking, and he starts moving forward, like nose to nose on Malone.
Uh-huh.
And he was the coach. Did it feel weird seeing a coach in a coat and tie? Because that's what they all had to wear back then.
And old. And he's like, yeah. I'll get you, Carl Malone. I ain't scared of you.
Yeah.
There was that. The Pro Football Focus has got their top 10. Their top 10 corners, mm-hmm. and the Texans have two of them. There's one team that has two corners.
Did they do top 8 cornerbacks, and the Texans had two of them?
No, top 7? Nine. Top 9.
Oh, top 9, okay.
Stingley is 7, and Lassiter is 9.
Stingley is 7.
Yeah.
Pro Football Focus.
Huh. They got Witherspoon 1, Sauce Gardner 2, Sertan 3.
We're still putting Sauce 2.
Yeah.
We're still doing that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, coming off his injury, I didn't know we were still doing Sauce. I thought we were through with Sauce as one of the top 2 corners, but okay.
I mean, this is so subjective because I've seen Christian Gonzalez.
Well, PFF is probably just with their ratings or whatever. Everyone will tell you it's Sertan, Christian Gonzalez, and Stingley.
Yeah.
And then McDuffie is somewhere in the mix too, and Witherspoon. Like, there's some good corners. I mean, that's 5 really good ones, probably all going to be ahead of Lassiter.
Lassiter being a top 10.
If somebody picked who the top corner was, they probably pick Sertan first, and then Gonzalez probably goes second, and Sting right after that is my guess.
Which corner, which pair would you rather have, DeJean and Mitchell, Quinyon Mitchell, or Stingley and Lassiter?
Sting and Lassiter, and I'm saying that objectively. I'm not taking a white cornerback for my list. I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
I just can't. Historically speaking,
oh my God,
the numbers are against it. I'm a numbers guy. Okay, and the numbers tell me that at some point it's going to fail. We cannot continue to play 1970s football with Cooper DeJean out there at corner.
White corner is making a huge comeback. You know, I don't know if you heard.
But Cooper's also more – they play him in the slot, right? They play him as a big nickel. I almost don't even count those guys. Like Petrie is corners. I don't even count that. Is he really a corner? Do they play him outside? They play Riley Moss outside, another white corner, and it's, you know, he's one of the league leaders in penalties.
If you go by our lads, DeJean is their nickelback, and Reek Woolen is their other outside corner.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good threesome.
Yeah.
And Reek had his problems.
Oh, we got Petrie. I'll take our three over them. I'll take our three over that combination, for sure.
Well, Petrie ended up on Pro Football Focus 7th best safety.
See, this is weird because he plays the same position as Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to get him on a list somewhere. He doesn't play safety for the Texans.
And Kalen Bullock didn't make the list. And you know what?
What?
Kalen Bullock should make the list.
Who are ahead of him? Who's the top 10 in safeties?
I can't find the list right now. Yeah, but
no
I
one knows.
I remember 7th was.
I don't love Sauce Gardner being 2 there. I don't think there's a world where anyone in the league thinks he's one of the top 5 corners right now.
Especially,
except maybe the Colts who traded 2 1s for him.
Especially coming back off injury.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean it's kind of a prove it year for him this year.
It absolutely is. I mean, well, and your boy better hope he's
back and healthy and playing well.
And playing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he gave up what?
2 1s.
2 1s. Whew.
It's a lot, you know.
Yeah, especially then he gets hurt right away.
Yeah, you had Trent McDuffie went for a late one, and Trent McDuffie is really good from the Kansas City Chiefs. Now with the Rams, hopefully the Rams can get some talent this year. Devontae Adams, Matthew Stafford.
Did you see Aaron Donald in the pool with the water bottles?
No, but I'm aware. I'm sure it was something freaky.
He is a freak.
I think Aaron Donald. You know one those of those guys
gigantic
the where they jump
water
the
cooler
pools.
Bottles.
Oh yeah, like that they pour Gatorade on people with. Are you talking about those?
No, that's a giant Gatorade bucket. This is a water cooler.
Cooler. Like we have it here at the office.
Yeah, gigantic. Yeah. He's holding it with one hand. And it's pouring out into the pool. Like, you just picks it up full, one hand, and turns it over. And it's like, you can't do that. There's
it would take
nobody
me
can.
Minimum no one in the of world 2 months do to do that, to learn to do that.
It's just.
I'd have to work on forearm strength and stuff like that to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, holy crap. That is.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's kind of, you weren't here Friday, John, but, you know, he had a workout for them. Now he's got to decide if he wants to come back. This has been written in the books of Fire and Ice forever. A maester once told me he is 100% going to come back. As soon as he put a Instagram post out that showed him working out, said staying ready after Myles Garrett was traded, I was like, oh, this is done. He's coming back. So, and I'm sure he's going to be really freaking good. I got a feeling he's not going to look any different than when he left. Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald together. Ridiculous.
No.
Now they've added Trent. This year they've added Trent McDuffie, Myles Garrett, and they will soon be adding Aaron Donald. That's who they're adding to their team this year. Great.
That's it.
I mean, at least they're not AFC.
And that's it. That's good. That's all. That's good. Did you see the golfer who got
and Ty Simpson?
Did you see the golfer who got struck by lightning while filming a storm?
Yeah, he's laughing and thinking he's being slick with it. And that's why I said, stop playing with lightning. Stop calling lightning out. But you can need to put some respect on lightning.
In the
name.
Arm, he got hit in the arm.
That's what his dumb ass gets for filming. To quit having a piece of metal in your hands. Quit dying to get struck, probably dummy. Right under a tree somewhere, you big dummy. Why don't you just hold up a golf club, too?
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
Y'all think this lightning strike stuff is funny. It was sent to me yesterday by our boy Clint. He sent it, not Culpepper, but, you know, the other Clint, who's been a longtime listener. And it's not, although it's Clint's his actual real name. And it's not funny to me because I think I'm going to die from a lightning strike. I 100% fear lightning. I don't want to even go outside if I know lightning's in the area and it's striking. You know, there's lightning strikes and you hear thunder and it's a lightning storm. I don't even want to go to my car. And this guy's out there like, look at all this lightning. And he wasn't laughing anymore. Does anyone know if he lived?
No. Yeah, he just got hit in the arm. He said he was okay.
He did say he's okay? I didn't see part two.
Yeah. Pat Forty went and visited Don Nelson at the end. You know, Don Nelson was a huge weed enthusiast.
Yeah, I know. I saw that on some documentary.
He lasted until 86, smoking weed every day.
I saw it on some documentary.
That's great. Good
lasted
for him.
Age of 86.
Is that how you're going to go? Your last year is just smoking weed?
I don't smoke weed now. Why would I do it at 86?
Because you're going to start.
Because you found out
how dumb and how you wasted your whole life.
Have you wasted your whole life?
I wasted my whole life. I'm going to start.
Not smoking weed? Oh, when?
I'm going to start smoking weed.
Okay, you got to take it up later in life like Nelly did.
Smoking weed.
And his hair got longer, too. He was out somewhere in Northern California.
Nah, I'm good.
On his farm. I think he grew it, John.
Yeah, he grew it. No, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No,
I've seen some doc, and I remember like Don Nelson's a weed head. Wait, Don Nelson grows his own? Okay,
good on him. Good on him. Dell, you're gonna find out.
No, I'm not.
You will?
No, I won't.
Don Nelson. Prediction.
Oh yeah, he was a weed farmer. Oh, I'm sorry, it was in Maui. Don Nelson. It's called Nelly Kush.
Yeah,
and he grew weed. Or he grew weed in a 22-acre weed farm in Maui.
Good for him. God, that's a great way to go. Great way to go. All right, 713-780-3776. You know what's a great way to go when you're talking about powder coating? There's one way to go, and that's Houston Powder Coaters. Those are my peeps over there. That's Robin, and she's going to do a great job for you. Here's the deal. I don't know what it is that you have. You've got something metal. It's in the backyard, your patio furniture or whatever, your pool furniture. And you're like, oh, my God. And, you know, this is a great, great, great time to get it done. You want to get it done before the holidays, before everybody comes. It takes a little while. I mean, you got to give, you know, if you're going to send all your patio furniture over to Robin over there, you're going to have to give her a couple of months to get this done, or maybe not that long. But and when it's busy, holy crap, it's hard. So plan. All of you pools out there now, the schools are starting up, and you're going to be closing your community pools, and you need to get this done, now is the time to send them your patio furniture. You're somebody who runs your local community pool. Do this now. Send it to Houston Powder Coaters. They'll pick it up and deliver it back absolutely free. And they get it done now so that by next year, when your pool opens again, it's going to look great. You need to do it. Don't wait. Don't wait for the holidays and then wait for spring again. Do it, do it, do it now. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Free delivery, free pickup, and they do the best job you could possibly have. You're looking for a great way to get whatever it is that you have metal that needs to be look good again. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. We have opened up the phone lines for you. It's 713-780-3776. So, and look who's back. La Raza. Now, normally you don't, but because it is, what did you learn this weekend? You don't get to call twice on the same day. But what did you learn this weekend is a special segment, special for special people. And La Raza is certainly special. So we got him back here. What's up, La Raza?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I already did the intro, but I wanted to say, man, I really didn't have enough time. I wanted to say, what did you learn this weekend? But you can't have the work. You cannot have the blister party without the warehouse, without Gil, without Lazy J, without... you know what I'm saying?
Do you guys all work in a warehouse, or is that just what you call it?
That's
how we all work in a warehouse.
Okay. I didn't know if that was just a code or slang or just
click. Throw it.
Slang? Don't break the fourth
wall. Why would it be a slang, Lance?
Well, not slang. Well, like, oh, you know, the warehouse. It's
a fake
not
name.
Slang's not the word I'm looking for, but.
They're not narcos, bro. They're like, hey, go to the warehouse. You know what I mean? Like, go get the material and send it to the other warehouse. No, it's not. We all work in a regular warehouse, dude. Like,
I don't know if you actually work in a warehouse or you just called yourself the collective is the warehouse, or really some of you didn't work in a warehouse.
That's true. No, but, yeah, so, you know, you can have the guys there, too. But I'm just, I called also, too, because I wanted to ask you about, Lance, you're the MLB draft expert, right?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Okay. You know, the Astros are having problems with pitching. So I found this pitcher, Stanford University.
Oh, boy.
Right-hander. No, his name is Sam, number 33. I want you to think, so what do you think about this guy?
His name is Sam?
I guess we're looking up
I'm
a pitcher
right now.
For Stanford.
Stanford pitcher?
Sam Miller?
Stanford pitcher.
Hold on. Did he say Stanford or Samford?
Samford.
Hold on. Baseball roster. Here we go. 2026.
You know
and we're gonna see it as we go, like literally live. Did you find it?
He does this all the time.
No. I'm still looking for it.
Hayden, Easton, Palmer, Luke, Will, Kaysen, Braden, Edward. These are all real names. Jake, David, Joseph.
His name is Sam. Like
Madden,
the guy that pitches, his name is Sam.
Parker, Elijah.
He's number 33, the right-handed pitcher.
Austin, Alex. There's got Grant. I'm still looking.
I don't see a Samford pitcher that starts. That's Sam.
Hmm.
I'm looking at the
roster.
Sorry.
We'll continue to do
gigantic
the research.
Gigantic fail.
I'm going to search the 25 roster.
I don't know what he's referencing, but I don't see it either. So maybe he saw an old roster.
So maybe La Raza, you could tell us his name.
No.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
I don't trust
him. Is it Drunken
him.
Miller? I wonder if that's Drunken Miller's
Is it Sam Drunken
kid?
Miller?
No, it's not Sam Drunken.
Then I don't know what he's on. No, I don't. I see a Miller Riggins from the previous year at the number 33. I don't know what he's talking about. So we'll have to try to figure it out.
Yeah, this
call ended on the downer.
Nice job, La Raza. Okay, it was better when you were just the warehouse collective.
Mm-hmm. Where Noah?
No, he said his name is Sam.
I know, but
when you were a cartel, it was much better.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for the call.
Who's next?
We move to Robert. What's up, Robert?
Robert, what up?
He's on, but not talking. Robert, we can hear you breathing.
I'm here. Hello?
Cool. Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to say, as a father of a daughter, who's later a little bit later in life, I didn't start smoking weed until my mid-30s. Yeah, I had a lot of migraines. I was stressed out in my 30s, but once I started smoking weed, which has been about almost 10 years now, it's really changed my life. And here's one thing you gotta realize, Dale. You're a grown man already. So, like, you already know when you go out into the world, you're not going to look like a 20-year-old or a teenage pothead, right? So no one can tell that I smoke at all. But I'm a pretty big pothead. But, again, I'm a grown-ass man, so I'm professional about it, if that makes any sense. But you're really, really uptight. I could tell. I strongly suggest you start smoking weed.
Now, it doesn't work for everyone. Let me just say that.
Yeah,
not everyone does. Not everyone does well.
Honestly,
not everyone does well.
You both can go to hell.
But he does
it for uptight.
He's very professional when he does it. He said, "You know who else?" You know who else I found out does? I didn't know that was Anne Hathaway. She's apparently there was an interview and I saw her say that she's,
yeah, no, yeah,
she's a big weed head.
She was asked about how much weed she smokes and she said she didn't want to answer it because
of her daughter, but she said
or get arrested, but
yeah, she didn't want to get arrested. And somebody said, "You're in California. What are you talking about? It's legal." But yeah, she said she smoked, which I would have never put it on her.
Anne Hathaway? Yeah, no.
As being a weed head. But she's also professional about how she does it, just like that caller.
She's also an actor. Who cares if she smokes weed? What's it? Yeah. What's it going to affect?
Nobody. Yeah. I was downstairs.
And
one
Don
of the people
Nelson
who
was retired.
One of the people who works in the conservatory. I was downstairs. I was working on my draft stuff, and I was down. I walked right by him. I recognized. I think he owns one of his own places. I'm like, yeah. He just went outside just to smoke weed. 100%. He was coming in back inside. Like he just went outside to take a weed break. That's all that was because I can smell it. If you're smoking any weed at all, you're not. If you think you're trying to get away with it a little bit, it's just not going to be possible. You can't, like, the smell, you just can't get away from it. There's just no way you can, like, hide it. I don't know how people, I was in Jacksonville at a hotel in a Residence Inn or whatever it was at Marriott, and the door right next to, or right across the hall. I mean, y'all are smoking in a hotel. You can't, like, you're not going to hide it. You can't hide it. You can put towels underneath. You're not going to be able to hide it. It's one of the most pernicious.
Oh no! Walking
smells
around Vancouver this weekend, once in a while you get a nice whiff.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get that. Walking around New York, you get it every
time.
A block.
As well, you should.
Going to a Target parking lot here in Houston. I'm not the only one this has happened to. Let me see if it's happened to you too. I'm driving down 59, 68 miles an hour, and if you are near a car, like you can smell it in your own car. From other cars. Other cars can have their windows rolled. You can still smell it. And when you're driving, that's the crazy part to me, is that you can smell it when you're literally driving a car next to another car. Or if the car's in front of you, you can smell it that much. Like that, you can't trick anybody or hide that. You better be doing it on your off time, caller. And Dell, I thought I was going to catch him smoking just the other day, and I didn't, though. He just hadn't started yet.
Why did you think that?
Because you were real uptight on Friday, and I thought
I was, huh? And you thought
That's what he said. He thinks you're uptight.
As long as he thought so, then I guess it's true.
He thinks you're uptight.
You need to smoke, though.
Apparently.
Well, I told you.
You first.
I will. I'll
John's
smoke.
In California. It's not going to be hard for
I grew
him.
Up in California.
Done.
You grew up in
I'll
Florida.
Start,
and California.
I'll start no, during the show.
Go ahead.
I will.
Hope
you got to join me.
I would.
You're not going to cut down on your
drinking.
I don't
join you for dinners. Why would I join you for with smoking weed?
It would. It would actually cut down because you'd be like, "Wow, I don't really need any beer."
But you'd
right
still
now.
Do it.
But so I'm not doing it because I need my Coors Lights. I need my Coors Light intake. That's what I need. I don't need, weed when I could drink Coors Lights. Yeah, that's stupid. I'll tell you what's smart. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston. They are men and women skilled. They build, maintain, and operate the electrical grid. It is a career where you're not alone. There's 4,800. I mean, you want to talk about, it sounds like it's, you know, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66. Well, the Local 66 has been around for 125 years and has 4,800 members. That sounds like a big local, doesn't it? 4,800 members. And it's got people from all walks of life. You could be college degree, not college degree. You could, I don't know what you're doing right now with your life, but if you're looking for high wages, full family, health insurance, retirement planning, if you're looking for a job or a career, rather, not a job, if you're looking for a career, you can be in that career in as little as 3 to 5 years, but you get paid on the job training. So you're getting paid the whole time. IBEW66.com. You're looking for a career? Powering careers, powering the future. IBEW66.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A lot of Texans talk this morning. We got more sound that we will continue to play here. Astros baseball, they lose again yesterday. Just not good. Just not good. The last two series. The bats just died this weekend. Just died. Friday was all right. Then the Saturday and Sunday, two runs each day, two losses. Enough said. 713-780-3776. The pitching is all right. You got San Francisco. This is a bad baseball team. San Francisco's bad. You need to go in there and beat them. You need to go in and beat that ass. That's what you need to do. Okay? So let's not mess around anymore. Let's go in there. We got Keith that wants to get in here. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, guys. 6 weeks ago, I called in, and I was questioning, you know, the downfall of Stephen Kwan. And in the past 6 weeks, this dude has been on base basically every single game. He's hitting over 400. He's got over 40 hits. Broadcasters are calling him out on the call, and he's hitting home runs. This guy figured it out in the last 6 weeks. This is a former all-star who's a hit machine. Like the first few months of the season, he was hitting like terribly. And now these last 6 weeks, he's basically on base every game, hitting like crazy. And also, should I expect a Keenan Allen signing with the Baltimore Ravens this week? Thanks, guys.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Keith understands a local show and what its purpose is?
I don't know, because he just calls this one with stuff like this.
Yeah, well, he'll call my show with similar things.
Oh.
So yeah. I know maybe he doesn't have an outlet for his general sports stuff, but like Stephen Kwan, okay, I guess he's having a resurgence, but he's a light hitting left fielder for the Guardians.
Yeah,
like even if why would we have...
What he did tell you a couple of weeks ago, which I don't remember.
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah. Keith likes affirmation of his points, yeah. So he likes to get that affirmation here. But why would we remember him mentioning Stephen Kwan?
The North remembers.
But we're South.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not, in Houston.
Yeah. Right. We're in the South.
We're Kings.
I don't know. He just... He considers us a national show.
Apparently.
And he just, and that's fine. We follow national.
We do national,
stuff.
But
we don't care about Stephen Kwan. We really legitimately
the minute,
don't.
The minute details of Stephen Kwan's
we don't,
resurgence?
That's not going to ever do anything for us.
Mm-mm.
That's never going to do anything for us. I did watch Drew Mestemaker.
Okay, the now Oklahoma State quarterback.
He's got some talent. Not bad. I mean, frankly, his tape was better than Arch's. His tape, but now it also is a much lower level competition. We'll see how he does at the Big 12. He actually isn't a bad quarterback. I wasn't always like, yeah, I guess I'll throw him in there. You know, Lenore Sellers, his tape stunk last year. I'm having to figure out if I even want to put him in my top 30 prospects, because I think I'm going to, just because he's a dual threat with good size. But I mean,
not one of those guys I would draft. Poor man's Cam Newton. It's really a poor man's Cam Newton. I mean, yeah, he's big. And Cam was actually bigger than Lenore Sellers in terms of.
Did you have Maiava in there?
Who?
Maiava, no. The USC quarterback?
No.
I'm seeing a lot of hype about him.
Yeah,
You got Whit Weeks in there?
No, not my top 30. Although I've heard some good things about Whit Weeks.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I didn't even watch him.
Sammy Brown from Clemson.
Sammy Brown, I got in the top like 10 or 12.
Yeah,
Sammy Brown's really good. Dell and I talked about him on Friday. Wasn't what I expected. I read the name Sammy Brown and I thought, oh, Sammy Brown, okay. Okay, and then I turn the tape, and I'm like, hey, he looks like Wade Woodes. He looks like a typical Clemson inside linebacker.
But he's a little different.
I mean, he's a Sammy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And the more athletic.
I thought maybe he was going to be from Miami Gardens or something, and he's not.
He may, if you look at his profile photo from the head up, the neck up, you'll see, okay, hey, I've seen a Ben Bulwer before, right. Or that Venables kid who started at linebacker.
He does have a big old, jug head, too.
But then when you look from the neck down, it's like, oh, that's an athletic
monster. That dude can
monster.
Run. Yeah, he can run, too.
Yeah, he's not stubby, dubby Ben Bulwer. No,
he's not.
He's
not a typical, like, try-hard
middle linebacker for Clemson. Yeah.
Surviving on instincts. Yeah, this dude's a really good player. Sammy Brown is a really good linebacker, he's a good one. Yeah, Colin Simmons, dude, he's really good, too. He and Dylan Stewart, like, Colin Simmons' stats are bananas. Just to think what he could do for his third year at Texas, he just needs to get bigger. He's only 245 pounds, so he needs to try to get up to 250, 252. But Texas is loaded.
You got him in the top 30?
Yeah, he's in, like, top four.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jeremiah Smith, one. Dylan Stewart and Colin Simmons, 2-3. They're basically the same. I got Dante Moore like 5 or 6. I got him 6. 5 is Leonard Moore, cornerback from Notre Dame. Oh, I take it back. Yeah, it's Stewart is 2. Colin Simmons is 3. Cam Coleman, 4. So that's a lot. I got 2 Texas players in my top 4. If you throw Arch Manning in there, who I'm giving a gift at 10, and then Trevor Goosby, the Longhorns could have 4 of the top 10.
Who besides Simmons?
Cam Coleman, who transferred over from Auburn.
The receiver.
Yeah, you watched him. And then Trevor Goosby, their left tackle. His tape was a little more underwhelming than I expected, but he's clearly the best. He was better than Jordan Seaton. And he's a tackle, so he's going to go top 10. And then Arch, Arch is going to go top 10. Cam Coleman, because he's a wide receiver, might not go top 10. We'll have to see. Colin Simmons, edge rusher, probably in the top 10. So Texas could end up with 4 players in the top 10 of this year's NFL draft.
If you were a general manager, as it stands today, if the draft was in a week, you don't get to watch 2026 film. You take an Arch in the top 10?
Not me.
Well, I don't know if you're.
I got to project.
Chris Sims, he's number 1 overall no matter what.
Yeah, no, and I'm being objective here. If I don't get to see this year's tape, and you just went, if he was in this last year's draft, I just think it's silly. Now, I have talked to a scout friend of mine who likes him a lot too, and I'm telling you, on my children, I don't understand. Like, he's not accurate. He doesn't throw a very good anticipation. All the things that we're taught that you need to have the intent, it's not good enough just to be big and to be athletic. That's just not good enough. We've seen that not work in the NFL. I need to have Anthony Richardson was big and athletic. Anthony Richardson also wasn't accurate as a passer. He makes wide receivers work really hard. He's inaccurate. He throws from bad platforms. He can make some throws. Like, there's some times where he makes some wild throws. But now that's the negative stuff. Let me tell you what. So if I'm just going off 2025, it's like, my God, how is he going to beat an NFL defense? He's having trouble beating Mississippi State for 3.5 quarters and Kentucky for the whole game. He was an atrocity against Kentucky. But, he's on high on list because his name is Arch Manning. That's just the truth. If his name was Arch McElroy, we wouldn't be talking about him as a top pick. we'd be talking about him like Lenore Sellers. We'd be talking about him like, you know, one of these other quarterbacks. But here's the one thing I do want to say, to be fair. You know how often quarterbacks make massive jumps from year one as a starter to year two?
Hmm.
Arch was a one-year starter last year. Because he gets so much hype, it puts him high on lists, maybe unwarranted, but it also puts a spotlight. It's a very bright spotlight, a microscope, that it maybe can be unfair to the young quarterback. So if you think about it, the way he played was kind of similar to most first-year starters. He had a lot of ups and downs. So if Dante Moore was a five-star quarterback who went to UCLA and was wildly disappointing. 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions his rookie year. His freshman year. He transferred to Oregon and sat behind Gabriel. Sat behind Dylan Gabriel. Didn't even play his second year other than having 7 pass attempts. Got a redshirt year that year. And then played last year and had like 30 touchdowns, something like 36-7, or a really good year last year in his second year. But the first half of the year was much better than the second half of the year. He went back to school. Well, he took a huge jump from his first year as a starter, and there was a year in between where he took mental reps, and he physically matured more, to the next year. It's not unusual for Arch Manning. I saw it with Kenny Pickett from year 3 to year 4. Like Joe Burrow from his junior year to his senior year, or sophomore year to junior year, whatever it technically was. So I've already seen this happen a lot. Drake May kind of regressed a little bit. But this happens a lot where quarterbacks, you know, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, it's kind of normal. Well, not as much Kalen either, but it is kind of normal for quarterbacks just to get better the more they play. So to be fair to Arch Manning, no. If I just watched last year, that's not somebody I would want to risk my job on. But the odds tell us he's going to be a lot better this year because he'll know that the game's going to slow down for him. Like you said, John, he'll probably process quicker because he's, you know, used to seeing defenses. He's a year longer. You know, he's got a year of just ups and downs and adversity in his life, and quarterbacks get better through adversity. And he is big. I think the arm's kind of average. I don't think the arm is special. He can make some tricky throws from time to time, but just confidence level. Well, if his confidence gets better, he actually could make a really big jump.
I think he's got to use his legs more. He used his legs a lot more at the end last year.
And
he was
Sark.
A lot better.
That's on Sark. I think he needs called runs.
Yeah.
He's 235 pounds or whatever. Dude, call some runs for him. Let him get his nose a little, let him get his clothes dirty. And let him get into the game. You know who he is. He's definitely not Peyton. And he's not even really Archie's. I mean, he's not even really Eli so much as he's Archie Manning.
Yeah.
He's really, and I didn't watch a lot of Archie. I was young, but he's a bigger Archie. He plays more like Archie than he does Eli or Peyton.
Yep. No, they had more arm talent than Arch does.
Yes. Yes. But Arch can do some things that Eli and Peyton couldn't do.
Yep.
Athletically, but we'll see if Sark lets him do that. I mean, Texas has a real chance of winning a national championship.
He was much better when he was using his legs at the end of last year. All right, let's break. 713-780-3776. Top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.